The Port Game Day podcast is a weekly preview of Port Adelaide's AFL action. Make us part of your game day routine and tune in as you get ready to cheer on the power. Back to the Port Game Day podcast, coming to you on the Port Fan Radio Network. I'm your host, John, and I'm stuck on 47 games in the Div 6 reserves. Joining us as usual, Mum wants me to come up with a better intro for him. It's Friendly Andrew. Ni hao.
Ni hao. Would have been nice for you to get that intro sorted for a Mother's Day present, but that's all right.
That's all right. Yes. No, too right. Well, we'll see what we can do in the edit. Also with us is a shadowy figure from the Adelaide hip-hop scene and former winner of KFC's Kicking for Chicken, Ni Hao Jimmy.
G'day, g'day, g'day from Australia. How are we all?
Yes, very well, very well. Excited to talk about this historic game. It's all kind of coming to a head. All the boys are in China now and the club's put up some video of... supporters and the cheer squad heading over. So, yeah, it's almost here, and it's going to be a pretty unique event, and with history in the making, really, isn't it? As we travel to Shanghai to play the Gold Coast Suns, it's the first ever game for premiership points in China, and yeah, it's the culmination of some hard work by the likes of Keith Thomas, Andrew Hunter, Lockhart Road of Big Footy and many more. So well done all. How are we feeling, guys? Are we pumped about this Sunday afternoon game in Shanghai?
Yeah, I would have been more pumped if I was going. But didn't end up happening for various reasons. But it would have been lovely to go over and see it because it looks fantastic from a few of the photos I've seen. And the ground looks pretty schmick. Surroundings, clear skies. Decent weather, so it should be a good game. Once the boys get a bit of a run around, they get a feel for the environment, feel for the ground. They had a bit of an easier trip over by the sounds of it compared to what the Suns had to do, so maybe that was a little payback for all the jumper controversy. But at the end of the day, it's two teams playing in the same conditions, so I'd like to think because it's our home game, we might actually get up for it, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see it on telly and hopefully get the win.
Yeah, sort of a bit of tinges of regret that as you see everyone fly out and all that sort of stuff, that couldn't quite get it organised to get over there, but fingers crossed it all goes to plan. Everything seems to be working out pretty well in terms of the facilities and all that sort of stuff, so hopefully game day goes off well, and the ground can accommodate all of the overseas and local fans. It should be a great spectacle, and really looking forward to watching it on TV.
Well, absolutely. The game kicks off at 1:20 local time. I think that translates to 2:30 in the afternoon here in Adelaide, and it's going to be a great Mother's Day present for all the Port supporting mums. So shout out to all the mums listening and hope you have a great day, and we will enjoy watching the game.
Yeah, it should be good for the mums. Hopefully the boys win and give all the Port girls a good present for Mother's Day.
Absolutely, and the teams that are taking the field, we've got some news here. For the Gold Coast, they've brought a number of players into their squad, including Braden Fiorini, Rory Thompson, Matt Shaw, who I didn't know was still on their list, Jack Bowes, Keegan Brooksby, and Josh Schoenfeld come into their extended bench with the known outs of David Swallow, Callum Archie, brother of, and Matt Rosa, all missing out due to injury. While there's been some confirmed changes for the power, Carl Amon returns to the side, and Brendan Archie plays his first game in 2017, by the sounds of it, with Dan Houston and Aaron Young. They're going to miss out. And Aidan Johnson and Dougal Howard, sounds like they've travelled over and probably end up as emergency. So there's a bit to digest there, guys. But I guess we've got the confirmed changes with Amon and Archie in, Houston and Young out. Our thoughts on those?
You know, it's interesting in for Archie coming in, especially against Gold Coast. There was a lot of rumours, a few Chinese whispers floating around last year. He was potentially put up for trade and the Gold Coast weren't interested. But he now comes in. He's a player that needs to perform. He wasn't in our plans at the start of the year. Didn't play much pre-season and all of a sudden now he's in. But you look at different players that have perhaps overtaken him in those earlier games. With Youngie, I guess, struggling with a bit of form, maybe a bit of injury, he comes in for him. So it's good that we've got some depth there. But now Archie has to keep his spot because, you know, we bring in young Pau Pepper and he was pretty much took over his position. But like I said, with Youngie, I guess they're looking at replacing him. But yeah, Amon, we definitely missed last week. I guess a lot of people have spoken about his importance. I didn't actually realise how many metres gained he'd actually had as one of the leaders in the competition. So that's an important stat in modern footy, and we definitely missed his polish when he does get the ball. It's just a matter of getting enough of the ball. So, yeah, interesting he missed out. But, yeah, those two boys are good ins, definitely.
Yeah, I think Amon coming back in reflects how tough it was of him getting dropped in the first place. Someone had to come out for the skipper after a pretty good performance up in Brisbane, and he comes straight back in with I guess both Young and Houston. Their sort of influences waned, probably Young for a longer period, but Houston certainly over the last couple of weeks, his really sort of I guess noticeable contributions to the team have dropped off. I guess the interesting part there is that Young sort of playing I guess a half forward role and Houston a half back role, and we bring basically sort of two midfielders in. They're not really necessarily like for like, so I think that probably means that Broadbent might go play a bit further back this week. He's been pushing up the last couple of weeks into the midfield. Maybe he goes back and sort of replaces Houston. And Archie's certainly got the ability to play the Aaron Young sort of working up and down the ground role, but he's been putting some really good numbers together in the SNFL. Sounds like he's in good form. He can really add something to the midfield.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so Archie, yeah, he's been consistently one of the better players in the SNFL, getting a lot of the footy. And as you said, Jimmy, he's been a bit of a forgotten man at the start of this season, but look, he's put the performances together. He's got his shot now. And interestingly, his brother misses out, so they don't quite get to play against each other this week, which is interesting. As you said, there's a bit of scuttlebutt that he might have joined Callum up in the Gold Coast. But after like showing some flashes in 2015, a bit of X factor, a bit of goal-kicking ability, he hasn't really put it together since then. And he'll definitely be wanting to put in a performance. And I think Carl Amon, very welcome inclusion considering some of our efficiency inside 50 last week, and just his ability to find targets, particularly with, you know, Charlie Dixon in some very strong form. Another player who can kind of hit him, lace out on the chest is very handy to have. Now, guys, the opposition that we're playing against, the Gold Coast, they've played some pretty good footy of late. Strong to get some wins against Hawthorn, Carlton and Geelong. They've had a pretty resurgent midfield. There was a bit of discussion about kind of Gary Ablett's fading star, and that he the effort that he was putting forward after in the off season. There were, you know, some rumours or some more concrete discussion actually that he wanted out back to Geelong, but he's found his found his game again, and the midfield has played quite well of late, and there's been some strong efforts up forward from Lynch, Peter Wright, and one of the guys who misses out this week in Callum Archie. So how much have we seen from the Gold Coast this week, and can they put up a strong fight?
I think their performance against the against Geelong last week was really strong. They've just started to, after a bit of a slow start, have really worked themselves into form. They are the highest disposal team in the AFL, so they actually sort of shuffle it around the most, and they also do very well in their clearance work. They sort of about six additional clearances, 39 to 33 against the opposition. So they're beating teams in the clearance. Once they get it outside, they're flicking it around. Their midfield is obviously going pretty well. The outs will hurt them a little bit. Swallow and Rose are being two sort of pretty AFL standard mids, and then the guys they've brought in probably aren't quite at that level. But we're going to have to be pretty switched on from the outset. And maybe even the conditions could be interesting, given that we're playing in sort of 30-degree, pretty humid heat up in Shanghai, which is closer to what the Gold Coast are probably accustomed to than what we are. So there'll be a sort of a battle in the midfield, no doubt.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned the climate that you would think would suit them more than us, but their midfield for sure is their strength. And they, like you said, win a lot of it, but they are turnover prone, which I was reading today, which is an interesting stat as well. They do turn it over a lot, so we really have to be on top of that and convert opportunities when they do turn it over. And yeah, so our pressure, we have to be on the ball with our pressure, which has been pretty good as well. So if we can pressure their midfields when they do have it, make them turn it over, our runoff half back will be important. But they've also got some good runoff half back as well, so we saw what we were up against West Coast, and we did win a lot of our own footy and had a huge amount of inside 50s. We're just needing a bit more polish, and I think their defence is vulnerable. If we get enough inside 50s, they get scored on quite heavily when, you know, the opposition out inside 50. So, yeah, I just think we got to make the most of our opportunities and not burn the ball like what we've seen last week.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of their clearance stats there. It's just intriguing to hear that, because aside from the fact we won the clearances on numbers last week, it's West Coast definitely got the better of us as far as the decisive clearances when they needed to, and certainly answering us with quicker goals. So I was looking at their midfield on paper, and the starting midfield line of Ablett, Barlow, and Hall being fed by Jared Witts looks pretty solid, but doesn't seem to me, at least on paper, that they bat much deeper than that. They've got a couple of guys who don't rack up heaps of the ball on, in Alex Sexton and Cade Kolodziejczyk. But yeah, missing out with Rosa and David Swallow, and not really being able to replace them outside of some youngsters they bring into the side with Jack Bowes and Brad Shear and a few other guys. I guess they'll give a run. But, I would hope that we bat deeper, that we've got more quality in the midfield. But last week we had some guys with some quiet games, so it'll be really up to the leadership. Wines, Burke, Robbie Gray all had pretty quiet games last week. So it's of utmost importance that they get on top and stand up and be counted. Wines has had a terrific season so far. Robbie Gray's done some great work up forward. Burke's been a bit patchy. Ebert and Wingard are in some pretty fine form. So if we can get a complete midfield effort, I think that we have the different types around the ball. We've got we've got the contested beasts. We've got three of them this week, actually. You bring Archie in. We've got the all-round midfielders, and I think we've got some class on the outside. So I'd hope that we'd be able to get on top there. As part of that, how do we see the ruck situation? Jared Witts stands at 209 centimetres. He's been averaging 35 hit-outs a game. I don't know, that poses a challenge for Paddy Ryder. He's had a sensational return back to the AFL, and he's kind of taken it all before him so far. So you'd hope that he keeps on keeping on this week.
Yeah, I think Paddy Ryder's going to have his wits about him this week.
See, that was very witty.
Yeah, I just don't know. Are we getting? Are we taking the Paddy Ryder output for granted? I like to think we're not, but we're winning a lot of hit outs, and we're winning a lot of ball generated through Ryder, and I just hope we don't get used to and take it for granted, and we're seeing us burn it. You know, I just get worried that the midfielder are not making the most of the opportunities when we do win it, because last year we saw what happened when we didn't have a winning ruck, and now we've got a winning ruck. We just got to make the most of those opportunities and be a lot smarter with the ball when we're going forward. And we need our midfielders to kick goals as well. And there was a lot of gettable goals we saw in the third quarter last week that we burnt. And you just can't afford to burn those opportunities. And maybe that was the West Coast pressure or perceived pressure, but we expect our midfield to perform better than that. And last week we saw a few down players, but this week hopefully they can bounce back and really perform, and we rely on them to generate a lot of score involvements and kick goals. So yeah, a few players need to bounce back.
I thought Ryder was actually, his around the groundwork last week was phenomenal. His marking when he went forward. I thought his ruck work didn't lead to a whole lot of clear clearances for us. It's probably the first game this year that he was just a little bit off in his ruck work. There are a lot of times it just didn't go clean down to a player, which we sort of come to expect. And I think we struggled with that quite a bit. That was exacerbated by a midfield being quite fumbly, I thought, last week. I mean, what will be interesting is I thought when we started to show signs of getting back into the game, it was actually with Ryder and Dixon playing in the forward lines together with Tringove in the ruck. And it'll be interesting to see whether we roll with that this week. I think Witts and potentially Brooksby, if he plays, are sort of ruckman that Trengo can handle and at least sort of get us moving in the right direction. And I just wonder whether we need Ryder and Dixon in the forward lines to compete against May and Thompson and those types. Because going on from that, the thing that we really struggled with last week was competing in the air in the forward lines. Whilst Dixon dined out and had a great game, there were still a number of occasions where, and they weren't even intercept marks, they were just pack marks where we weren't able to bring the ball to ground effectively. Something that we probably for the first time this year got caught out on, but it'll be interesting to see whether that's just a one-off with West Coast strength or whether that's a trend that we'll need to start managing.
Yeah, I mean, I would be inclined to think that. I mean, that's West Coast kind of almost trump card competitive advantages as it pertains to the rest of the competition with McGovern back there and Barras kind of cutting off things. I mean, I had in my kind of thoughts that, I mean, Charlie Dixon being on fire at the moment, I don't think it really matters who plays on him. I think he's such a large individual, and he's got, you know, once he gets moving, I think he's taking that ball out in front of his eyes at the moment. They bring Rory Thompson back into defence this week, but I would back him to beat anyone he plays on at the moment, just in the rich vein of form he's on. It would just, I mean, the question then becomes the second and third kind of matchups. I guess how they go. I mean, Justin Westhoff has been named at, I think it's centre half forward. Obviously, I mean, we don't really consider him as a key forward here on the Port Game Day podcast, but if anyone needs a lift, it'd certainly be him. A couple of goals would not go astray at all. And obviously, with Aaron Young going out, that's, you know, he hasn't been in the greatest of form, but probably one player that, well, an area that our medium and small forwards that we'd like to get some production out of. I mean, Jarman Impey has probably been the only real guy who's been hitting the scoreboard of late in that department.
Yeah, where's Robbie Gray at? I mean, if he's injured, why are we playing him? I mean, he's performed against lesser teams, but last week he just really struggled, and you could just tell there was something. He's not 100%, and I mean, the club have come out and denied it, and you know, maybe we're just putting a band-aid over it, but I don't know, is this the week he should have rested, or is he gonna bounce back and, you know, turn it on in China? He's really struggled, and I mean, he's obviously had his games where he's been elite, but he still looked like he was going half pace. And it's just the worry that if he does have OP, and they're just basically band-aiding it, what's he going to be like when it comes finals time?
Yeah, it's sort of like the last 3 weeks. The game against Carlton, he was phenomenal. He looked fine. The game against Brisbane, he sort of looked like he was slowing down a bit, but still was pretty effective because of the amount of opportunities and sort of inexperience in that defensive unit for Brisbane. And then last week, he looked absolutely terrible. Just didn't look like didn't even look like when the ball hit the ground that he was capable of chasing, of even locking it into the area. And I would have thought this would have been the perfect time to give him a break rather than fly him up. And there's already doubts. He didn't complete the training session tonight, apparently. So it just seemed a bit odd. This would have been the perfect time to give him 2 really long weeks, just break. So yeah, that's where I would have been going with it. But if he's in the team and he plays, he's definitely got to perform, because last week was wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously only speculation, but I wonder how much the club and players themselves have set themselves like to get to this point. Just as a bit of a landmark game. I know, like, it only counts for 4 points as all others do, but I'm sure a lot of the players or our management of the players may have been with a view to maybe getting through to this point, and look, maybe they look at resting some players afterwards. You can talk about the relative merits of that or not. Other guys that I'd throw in that medium small forward group, Sam Gary, obviously he needs to straighten up his kicking. Sam Pelpepper has been a bit quieter the last couple of weeks, but hopefully he gets his second wind. And obviously Brendan Archie's got some ability up as a medium sized forward. He's kicked goals in a few games and demonstrated a bit of that, so I think we need some production out of those guys this week, because we're struggling for a second tall at the moment. And you've mentioned Jimmy, you want to see some goals from your midfield. And when we're up and firing, it's all that kind of squadron of 3 or 4 medium small forwards. They're all kind of dangerous and kind of all hitting the scoreboard. So obviously you want your players to get goals.
Well, if Robbie's not performing and he needs a rest, I think Wingard should go back up forward again and maybe spend a bit more time there when we need that extra medium small. But I mean, obviously he's been doing well in the midfield, but I guess with Amon coming in the team now, we might look to play Wingard a bit more up forward when Robbie's not performing. But like you said, he has to perform this week, because it'll be a bad decision to play him if he looks like he did last week, 2 weeks in a row.
Well, let's have a look at the other inside 50 arc, and that's with the Gold Coast forward line. And they've definitely got some quality up there. Tom Lynch is just probably the standout young key forward in the competition. He's still young. I mean, he's probably like 24. Peter Wright is showing a fair bit. Jack Mountain and Brandon Matera are some pretty handy small forwards. And it's actually a bit of a boon, really, for us that Callum Archie misses, because he's kicked 11 goals, I think, in 5 games this season. So don't underestimate that loss to injury of him. He's been pretty potent as a forward this week. So the defence kind of probably had their first down game in a big way last week. How do we see us shaping up against the Gold Coast forwards?
It's going to be a challenge. They've got some... Tom Lynch, he's right around the 200-centimetre mark. 2-metre Peter is also around the 200-centimetre mark, as his name suggests. So they've got some big blokes. They've got some really good small forwards. It's a dangerous mix. We obviously don't have the height to go with those guys in the back lines, but we're going to need to do a hell of a lot of better job than we did last week, where we too often we went back to hero ball, where everyone jumped up and left a Jack Darling on the ground. And Tom Lynch is a smart footballer. He'll do exactly the same. If he sees his man go into the contest, he'll drop out the back and pick up the crumbs. So we have to be much smarter in the way that we attack the the aerial contest this year, this week.
Yeah, you look at Lynch. Who's he remind you of from like yesteryear? I guess the comparison may be Wayne Carey. Obviously, he's their number one key, and they got rid of Dixon because they knew they had him up his sleeve. But yeah, dominating key forwards. We've been actually pretty good at this year, and I think Cleary's done pretty well in his one-on-ones and is in top five as far as the stats go for one-on-ones, winning his one-on-ones. But the thing that annoyed me last week was just how our defence leaked goals. I mean, we were okay in the air. We competed when the ball came in, but once it hit the ground and whatnot, we weren't able to clean up. And I think Matera is a danger player. He had one of his best games in 2015, I think. I think he was just about best on ground when we played him then. But he's in good form as well. So they've got that mix, which we're going to have to be on our best to combat. And, yeah, last week, just really frustrating. I thought we did, you know, we held him to a respectable amount of inside 50s, but they were just able to score too easily when they did get them, and the defence just gave up some easy goals, which we just can't afford to do because the Gold Coast have got enough talent once the ball hits the ground and whatnot. And yeah, those two in particular are the dangers for me.
We just made some sloppy errors just in a number of different ways last week. Just seeing everything we touched turned to crap, really. Like we had too many guys commit to a contest, and therefore we had like West Coast forwards who were finding themselves free when the ball hit the ground. We had drop marks in contests that you could either argue we probably should have taken or punched. We had guys kicking across goals and hitting up like miss kicking, hitting up targets. So it was really disappointing because that contingent have really done a great job so far this year. I mean, I think like Homsch in particular, like, had a really shaky week last week, and he'll be looking to bounce back after some uncharacteristic errors last week. So I hope the back six can kind of get back that chemistry and the decision making and skill execution is on point as it had been in the weeks leading up to last week. Because as you say, guys, there's a fair bit of quality up there, and between the two keys and their dangerous small forwards, they've got a pretty potent mix. So, a group that can win games.
Is this Dixon's first game against his old club? Don't think he played in 2016.
That's a good question. I think it might be.
Yeah, because we were at the game at Metricon round 23. I don't think he played because he was.
I think we shut him down by that stage, I think.
I think he was on ice. So this will be an interesting contest going up against his old team and probably a couple of his mates in the defence. Stephen May or Rory Thompson, they're fairly highly touted as defenders. Thompson comes back into the team this week, and they've also got Jack Leslie back there. So be interested to see what matchup he cops. As I said before, I think he's in such good form that he's in such a physical beast. I think he's got the ability to beat whatever's thrown in front of him this week.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting crowd. I mean, last year at Metricon, I remember we were getting stared at for cheering for our footy club. The Gold Coast supporters are a fickle bunch, but there seemed to be a bit of negativity about the Gold Coast in general, leading up their travel plans, etc. But I mean, it's probably going to be more of an atmosphere in China than what they get at their own game. So I don't know what they're whinging about. Just seems to be a lot of negativity in general. I don't quite understand it. I think people are sort of plotting for this venture to fail, which is a bit strange in my opinion.
I think what we've seen this week, and look, to be honest, I haven't paid much attention to it because I don't find much quality in like your mainstream media sources these days at all. It seems to be like the perpetual creating outrage and sensationalism cycle, which really, the easiest way to get someone reading your stuff is to say something negative about, say, your club, because you'll want to pop up and defend them. So, I just find that, there's a fair bit of baiting of, clubs and players and what have you that I just think try to avoid. But I think what you're seeing for the most part is just the insular AFL nature. Like, they think this is a, like, there's a great article by Michael Lynch from The Age yesterday or the day before about, you know, I mean, it's not like it's the moon landing or something. Like, there are professional sports teams that do trips like this on a weekly basis around the world, and life goes on. Like, the Adelaide United team have been to Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, South Korea, China, Japan, and you play the game and then get on with your life. It just seems to me the AFL media in particular, you know, as a domestic sport, have that default reaction to anything different or any change. There's just a bit of a bogan element, to be honest. Like this is something that happens in world sport all the time. So people just need to get over it.
No, I agree completely. I mean, someone did it. We were the first. Someone was bound to do it eventually, and we took the initiative, and we're taking the risk, so we deserve the reward if it's successful. And like you said, at the end of the day, how many teams travel to China to play soccer games? Like you said, you just go there, play your game, and get it done. Like, the conditions both teams have to play in, and the travel factor is just part of it. I mean, at the end of the day, we both had to travel. We both play there, so may the best team win.
I think the aspect we're facing now is that there's a real focus on the actual game itself, and there only being only 12,000 people and the smog and all this sort of stuff. And but the game is only as you'd well know if you take in sort of the threads on Big Footy, is that this is only one part of a much broader piece of work by the club. This game is not necessarily the make or break for our involvement in China. And I think, John, as you quite correctly pointed out, it's not just the negativity, it's the lack of nuance and understanding of how these type of things work. And I think that's just what we're copying. But you, with all of these type of new ventures, you've just got to be focused on what you're trying to get out of it and push on and ignore everyone else.
I think we'll find come Sunday evening or whenever the players return, I think some of them might be taking a couple of days before they come back. I think we'll find the game will happen. There'll be a result, by the way, hopefully in our favour, and life will completely go on. And all this gnashing of teeth is purely to, well, drive clicks, drive views of content and so forth. I just hope people, yeah, don't get sucked into it, really. And, you know, we might just find, guys, that Port Adelaide single-handedly helps the world prevent and avoid World War III. So that would be a fair feather in our cap that Keith Thomas could put on his CV if, you know, the diplomacy and economic kind of interaction between the two countries that has been single-handedly brought about by Port Adelaide kind of leads to sustainable and perpetual world peace. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
that's a big topic. I think. I think just one of the minor benefits is the broadening of the minds of just the Port Adelaide people to a different culture. And I think there's a lot of people that wouldn't have chosen Shanghai or China or more generally as a holiday destination that have they've packed up their Adelaide Oval kits and making their way up to Shanghai now. So I think that's a real positive as well.
They've taken the thermos and the rug knitted by Gran and heading up the exotic lands that the eastern part of the world. As I think both of you have alluded to, you feel a bit envious of the people heading over and, with the assumption that it's going to be a wild success, both in the sporting and geopolitical worlds, I would love to get over there at some point for a game. You know, my personal schedule allowing, it would be great to get over. I think if this became, I think are we not tied in for 5 more years?
Is it five? I thought it was three, but if it's five, then I'm sure we'll definitely get over there at some stage.
Okay, well, guys, I reckon let's just sum this one up now and talk about some of our predictions for the game. This is our 6-pointers, and that's where our panelists make some predictions about the game that you can all keep an eye on as it unfolds. So, Andrew, give us your best on ground by Supercoach points.
I'm backing Ollie Wines to have a bounce back performance this week.
Jimmy.
I'm going with Chinese lucky number 8, Hamish Hartlett.
Very good. Andrew, no, Jimmy, give us your leading goal kicker for the Port Adelaide Football Club.
Jarman Impey.
Yes, he's kicking some goals at the moment. Andrew?
I reckon Big Charles is going to be pretty pumped up for this week and be prowling the forward line, and I reckon he could have a Port Adelaide best bag at him for this week.
Yeah, did you read the Treader story on Dixon during the week?
Yep.
Posting career
best. Oh,
very
briefly.
Yeah, I just read online. It's not like I bought the advertiser or anything, but interesting that he's kicking a goal more a game this year, and stats are up across the board, and potentially playing himself into a top 10 sort of key forward in the competition.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's making anyone who had any sort of doubting comments last year look pretty stupid, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you'd think people would have learned that you don't judge new recruits after 6 weeks kind of into a season. That's, as always, with everything, really, and it's the boring way of doing it, but it's the long-term result that you're after. Okay, this is a trivia question for the Nathan Cracker Medal. And who has played more AFL games, Brendan Archie or Callum Archie? Andrew, give us your quick answer.
Brendan Archie.
Jimmy.
I think that's the obvious. I'll take Callum.
Ooh, it's very tight. The answer, yeah, it is the obvious answer. It is Brendan, but it is not as far apart as you would think. Brendan Archie has played 22 AFL games to his younger brother's 21. So there's a fun fact. Okay, now who's done their research? Who's researched the capacity of Jiang Wan Stadium in Shanghai? Jimmy, this is your pet event. What is your tip for the crowd this week?
Full house, 8.5, maybe?
Oh, I thought it was closer to
your
12.
Final answer.
Yeah.
I'm getting in, isn't it, 12?
Okay, there it is. Lock it in. All right, done. Of course, we're not playing for sheepies. And Andrew, give us your margin and tip.
Port Adelaide by 8 points.
Jimmy.
We're going to finally win a close one.
No. Maybe this is the only place we can win a close game at.
Yeah, I'll take Gold Coast by 14.
Surely that's the first time in Port Game Day History podcast that...
Psych! Nah, Port by 26.
Oh, you sucked us in there. Okay.
Well,
I am going to take the Port Adelaide Football Club established 1870 by 88 points.
Couple two, of lucky numbers. Just,
two yeah, fat ladies.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, just for that, yeah. I mean, eight, maybe 18. Just get eights, just... Eights in there, eights all around. Okay. Maybe. If you tip an eight on its side, it's infinity. Maybe we win by infinity. Okay, that's ridiculous. All right. Well, before we delve too further into the complete inane, we'll have to wrap up this Port Game Day podcast for the historic Sunday afternoon clash in Shanghai, and a cheerio to all of those who have travelled over. Enjoy the game. I'm sure it'll be a good one, and we'll be watching from the fine city of Adelaide, and hoping the boys get a win. So, Jimmy, Andrew, thanks for joining us once again this week.
No problem. Good times.
And cheers to our Chinese listeners.
Absolutely. There are some, I believe.
There's two.
if the stats are to be believed. Absolutely. We are big in China. All right, guys, enjoy the game. Go the power. Insert Chinese translation of go the power here.
Go to power.
Come power.